The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Yes. So we've been doing faith questions, right? We started with the faith question that somebody asked is religion and science. Do we agree on that? And we spoke on that. We spoke about why can't I see the will of God in my life? And we talked about does the church think sex is a good or a bad thing, right? So this week, another question that people frequently ask, is there really one true religion? Now, if you're like me, sometimes I think it's probably good if you're not. Anyway, when I was growing up, I was told that the religion that I practice was the true religion. Did anybody hear that growing up? You know, and I still hear that some days. People will say there's only one way to God, and if you die and you haven't done that, accepted Jesus, for example, that you'll never find salvation. To me, to claim that there's one exclusive true religion is very dangerous. And I think for three reasons. It keeps dialogue from religions knowing each other, talking to each other, sharing truths that they know, right? It certainly fosters violence. We've seen that, have we not? In people that think they have the one true reason. But the biggest one for me is it doesn't leave room for God to be God. And some people actually say there will never be peace on earth until the religions of the world learn to get along in peace. And in what we've seen, I think that's a good, strong possibility. We have to think about the fact that 2/3 of the world's population are not Christians. They long, just like we do, to know the truth. They want to serve. They want to understand God in whatever name that they might give God, right? And we have to say that God probably knows their hearts, that God has heard every prayer, maybe that they have said, right, since they were born. And believing this to be true, I think it's critically important that we decide as Christians, how will we view other religions? Interestingly enough, the one reasons we as Christians should recognize that there's truth of some kind in most religions, particularly about God's salvation, isn't found in other religions, but it's found in our own scriptures, you know? Our own scriptures reveal that God wants to embrace everyone, right? The Apostle Paul wrote he says, God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So if God wants to save all people, God's going to act in whatever way God needs to act in order to make that a real possibility for all people. In other words, if we believe as Christians that God's grace is important for salvation, then God's going to find a way to deliver that grace to other people. And the means that typically God will deliver that message is through religion. You're right. So in some sense, to believe that Christianity is the only way to salvation is in opposition to a God that loves everybody. Now, there's a difference, I think, between saying Christianity is the one true religion and claiming that Christianity has some exclusive truth claims. Those are very different ones. It would seem to me that religious truth is truth, at least for me, when it opens me up to meaning. It opens me up to purpose in my life. It gives me this inner peace and strength, you know, that I need. And it propels me to engage with life and do things that'll improve the lives of not only myself, but for others as well. So, you know, for me personally, the truth and the symbols that we find in Christianity are what propels me to live the way that I think God calls us to live. So I want to go back to today's scriptures, and I want to share with you to focus on Christian truth claims that are exclusive to some of the other religions, you know, the defining belief, shall we say, that differentiate us from the other religions, the beliefs that I think can produce in us, you know, loving, caring, compassionate, mercy, reconciling, peaceful behavior that you would expect that God would expect out of us, right? And the three areas that I want to talk about today are, number one is the origin of Jesus' salvation, the purpose of Jesus' salvation, and the method of delivery of Jesus' salvation, which is grace, all right? Claim number one, religious claim. The origin of Jesus' salvation. We read the John 1 passage today, right? It tells us that Jesus has always existed, that Jesus is God, right? This is an exclusive claim when it comes to other religions, you see, because other religions say their founders were human, and the only Christianity comes to say, claims, that Jesus is God, and he came into the world. So that's claim number one. Claim number two is the purpose of salvation, and verse 14 in that particular reading says, the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ was born a human. And why is the flesh important? Well, because many of the other religions of the world, the purpose of that religion is to liberate you from the flesh, to escape the flesh, you know, whether it would be, some say that the physical world is the problem and that the physical world is an illusion and that what we need is a different level or a change of consciousness to be able to see that, right? Others would say that this world and flesh are bad. That what we need to do is escape this world, escape the body, and we need to focus on going to heaven or nirvana or wherever it is that particular religion might say that you need to go. Now, the only problem with that is any religion that says the earth doesn't matter, then why would you care about the earth? Why would you care about changing anything here? You wouldn't care about changing the world, right? Because your focus is on where the end might be coming. But if the purpose in the Bible is like what Revelation tells us, to create a new heaven and to create a new earth, a transformed world would be one where death, suffering, pain, poverty are gone. Then if that is true and that's your focus, then you'd be working with God in redeeming the world. Does this make sense to you? Just shake your heads whether it does or not, because it makes me feel better. Christianity says that God received a body at birth, right? And he had a new body. Jesus had a new body when? At the resurrection. Let's try that again. Jesus had a new body when? It's kind of that day, kind of day, isn't it? Jesus is not a prophet and not a teacher, as you see in many of the other religions. He's God coming in the flesh. And as Christians, you know, through Jesus, we see that salvation from God is not to escape the world, right? But to redeem it, get rid of death, get rid of disease, get rid of injustice, get rid of hunger, redeem the world. Jesus' salvation doesn't lie in us escaping the world. It helps us to redeem it. And that's a big difference with the other religions. And claim number three is a method of grace. So we have claim number one, right? That Jesus is God. Claim number two, he came in the flesh and that we are here to help redeem the world along with God. Number three, the method of grace. Our Ephesians passage says that you are saved by performance, right? Now, what does it say? It says that we're saved by grace. The grace of God through who? Jesus Christ, right? In many of the world's religions, you actually saved by your performance. If you do certain deeds and be holy and pray and do everything you're supposed to, then you can be saved. But to me, that kind of creates a little slippery slope. Because then if I think I am doing everything right, and you're doing everything wrong, Donna, I'll tell you, what's that going to lead to? Self-righteousness is going to lead to me judging other people, right? Because I don't think they're doing what I deem right, because this is what God tells me is the right thing to do. So, and I've also noticed that sometimes when you believe that, it can also lead to violence, which is another symbol that I think we should consider. So the gospel says, you're not saved because you're wise. You're not saved because you're out there working at the homeless shelters, right? You're not saved because you perform all these good deeds in order to be righteousness. You're saved because of what Jesus did for you by dying on the cross and by his grace. God comes and pours himself out, suffers for people who aren't virtuous, suffers for people like us. He suffers for people who aren't always loving, not always kind, right? Jesus lived that life that we should have lived to show us how we should have lived, right? And died in our place so that non-loving, not so good people, sometimes we're good, like us, right? can be saved by God's radical grace. Because you see, for me, in Jesus Christ, we actually see the ultimate reality, right? And when you see ultimate reality, do you know what you see? You see a man that is dying on the cross, forgiving people that didn't forgive him. You see a man dying on the cross that's loving people, being abused by people that didn't love him, right? You see him sacrificially serving people that didn't want to serve him, you know? You're looking at people that opposed everything that he believed in. And when the new Christians saw that ultimate reality, do you think that they could go out and judge other people and separate themselves off? No. They acted and they loved others and they shared everything that they had with others. They wanted to make the world a better place, you know? And so I submit this. If you take moralistic religion into your center, one of those where you know exactly what you're supposed to do, and that's how everybody's supposed to live, what you're going to have is that you'll feel superior to other people, and you'll judge them. But if you take Jesus Christ to your center, then you'll be humbled before other people who maybe don't believe what you'll believe, you know. You'll seek to serve the people that you really don't want to serve, and maybe they don't want you serving as well, right? And you'll build your life on a man, Jesus Christ, who loved as no other man has ever loved in our world, right? Those are my truth claims. Not that Christianity is the one true religion, but those are my truth claims that I think can be an incredible force in people's world to change the world. Do you want this type of incredible force to be released in the world? Yes, and so if you believe in the gospel, you need to believe it more deeply than you've ever believed in it before, and you need to go and act like you believe in the gospel in the world. And if you don't believe in the gospel yet because it's so new to you, consider believing it and become part of God, redeeming the world.